jarring.
No. Not ra 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 ra. La 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 la. Sing like this. Deck the halls with boughs of holly. Fa la 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 la. Try again.
Deck the hall with boughs of holly. Ra 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 ra.
Stop. Sing something else.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle all the way. All my fun is to ride in one horsey open
sleigh. No, stop. Kitchen, bring food for customers.
Oh, yes, it's a beautiful duck. Yes, it really is. It's but you see,
what?
It's smiling at me.
Okay. Beautiful.
Yes.
That Christmas would live in our memories as the Christmas when we were introduced to Chinese turkey. All was right with the world.
How many friends do you guys have on Facebook that are DJs? Any?
Three,
maybe?
I have at least one.
I'm sitting at about five, and it's getting kind of old, just because you were talking about tweaking the knobs, and it's like every other day I get on Facebook, and all it is it's like a point of view camera view with like hands going like that, and then all of a sudden like they'll scream something, and the crowd will jump. I don't know. I've never been a really big DJ guy. But it seems like that was the go-to profession for most of the guys that I hung out with that are new in high school.
It's a good way to make money, I guess.
Yeah, they seem to be good at it because they do it at like Mint Cincinnati and all the big clubs downtown. Guess if it pays the bills.
Does it really? Do DJs make good money?
I don't know. Like, I have a couple guys that literally do it all week, every week, and they don't mention anything else. I don't know if they drive cool cars or own nice houses.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like those guys are the guys who are living in, like, Clifton.
Like a studio with four roommates.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with living in Clifton, Danny.
Yeah, nothing wrong at all. Just all the college kids and crime and...
Is this Clifton?
Yeah.
See, I don't even know what's the name. The street right here, is it Fiora or Flora?
Flora.
Because I read the sign today and it like said Flora. I was like, I thought it was Fiora for some reason.
Nope.
No wonder GPS can never find out. No, I've been here 1,000 times. So.
Yeah. Crime's actually not super bad here. Could be worse.
Like, there's a lot of cops that roll around. So.
Yeah, at least the cops care here. Like if you go down the hill, not so much.
Down the hill there?
Yeah.
What was that? Chicken and something?
Yeah, it was like Chet's chicken line and fish, or chicken fish and meat.
Chet's hook line and sinker.
You're like,
something.
Guys, yeah. Come save me! I'm so scared.
I was like, guys, you guys rescued me. Well, you were my knights in shining armor.
White Kentucky boy trapped in the ghetto.
Help! Some dude asked me, I got a lighter 3 times. He really did like walk this way, ask me, go up, do his business, turn around, walk back, ask me again. Like, I'm like. It was
nope,
weird.
Still don't have a lighter.
It's like, man, you're killing me. So everyone got all their holiday plans all settled?
I think so.
Yeah.
I was hoping to take some time off, but I don't think that's going to happen.
You're just too much of a commodity there, Matt.
I
yeah.
My company got acquired like a couple months ago, and I had like 11 days saved up. I lost all of it.
What? That doesn't seem legal.
They like gave us some sort of little money.
Yep. They.
I mean, they paid I don't. For it. Yeah, I don't feel like they paid me full value for it though. Like, they're like, I
taxes
had, like,
came out of it. I bet. And like,
ugh. Like I thought, 11 days, I get paid like $15 an hour at least. So I'd like make it. I guess maybe it's not 11 days because the way they did it is I accrue time off for the rest of the year,
yeah.
But it ends up being 5 days of time off instead of 11. So I had to use all of it on my like little Malaysian vacation that up until that point I had rationed for quite nicely, and with like four more days on the side, you know, like take the day after Christmas off so I can have that 4 day weekend. Not anymore.
Nope, can't play any new games you get.
Oh, I don't know. What do you got going on for Christmas or the holidays?
I don't really ever do anything for the holidays. I don't have, well, I mean, I live by myself for one, so I don't have a tree. I didn't put up any decorations because I just have to take them down again. But I usually hang out with like my brother, but he's going to his wife's house for Christmas since he came to our family's Thanksgiving. So it's just going to be me, my mom, and my dad. Probably just going to hang around the house for a couple of hours, have some dinner, and watch a movie or something, and then I'm just going to go home.
Nice.
Do they get you good stuff usually?
Yeah. They have learned that cash is all I really care
about.
There
you go.
That's boring.
Yeah. My parents went through a phase where it was like cash pretty much growing up, and then a few years back they got into the whole, well, a gift means so much more. Like most parents, I'd say the majority of parents in this world are just horrible at buying gifts for their own kids. Like, unless you're a really little kid and you kind of voice what you want a lot, but once you get older and it's like kind of partly on them to just kind of know what you want.
That's what Amazon wish lists are for.
You're like, I have to be friends with my family on Amazon or whatever.
You can share it like on a Facebook or something.
Hint, hint, guys.
Well, see, that's why I have a wife. My wife gave it to him. They were like, what does Matt want for Christmas? She's like, here you go.
Here you go. That's the way to do it.
Yep.
Yeah, I actually showed my parents how to use Amazon for the first time the other day because they got a $50 Amazon gift card.
Oh, wow.
And I get those every year, too.
Yeah. And so they,
what can I drop $50 on Amazon?
That's awesome. It's like being able to buy anything for $50, under $50 anyway.
And then I had to sit there and listen for 3 hours with my mom saying, now these towels are like $99 for this set in stores. Why would it be $29.99 on Amazon? Uh-huh. Like all that stuff. I was like, mom, it's like a wholesaler site. Like everything on there is deeply discounted. She's like, I just don't believe it.
Believe it.
Believe it.
And then when she went to order, she's like, well, it'll take forever to get here. And I was like, no. And I typed in my Prime account. And it was like the next day, I was like, it'll be there Saturday between 9 and 1. Yeah. Sure enough, like 10 o'clock, it was like on their door. She's like, I can't believe it came that fast.
So she got a $50 gift card to Amazon. She bought towels with it.
That's what a 60-year-old lady does with Amazon gift cards is buy towels.
Sure, sure.
Towels are real important when you get older. Yeah.
Now, when I was younger, I could give a shit less if it was like a towel or a rag or whatnot. I could dry off on anything. But nowadays, it's good to have a nice towel when you get out of the shower.
Yeah, nice.
That's how you know you're getting old.
Yeah.
Everybody needs a towel.
Usually, I would just like throw them on the floor and stuff. Now, I put up two towel racks in my bathroom, one for the new towel, one for the old drying towel.
It's a sign of maturity. caring about towels.
That's a sign of getting too close to death.
I mean, I care about towels, but I would have thought that a 60-year-old woman would have the towels that she needs. Like, what has she been doing up to this point?
Oh, no. Waiting for someone to give her a gift card to some place that sold the towels she wanted.
Here you go. Yeah, my parents got me a food dehydrator, which is why I made jerky for last week. That we ended up not doing
it
was taken by Dylan and family members. Then I also got an immersion blender, which was pretty baller.
My family and or I have already been to like three different Christmas parties, and there's like three or four more coming up.
I've been to three already, and I'm done for the year.
I went to my office holiday party because we actually have a chef for some reason.
You have an in-house chef at work?
Yeah, we're an IT management company, by the way, but we have an in-house chef just because we rent two floors on this apartment building, this office building, and one of the floors happens to have a full kitchen on it and a like dance floor sort of area. So what they did is they're like, well, We are only using the half with offices on it, but we can... What if we...
Expand.
Got that one, and then we can, like, rent it out for parties and stuff like that. So they hired a chef, and all he's really done since then is cook for us, basically.
Sounds like the CEO wanted his own personal chef.
Yeah. And I mean, before we moved into this building, our holiday parties were at, like, Hollywood Casino or, like, Dueling Pianos in Newport. Now they're all just at the office.
Saving some money.
So I showed up an hour late, and the meal wasn't ready yet, so I had to wait around for half an hour. So you, and then I ate and just left.
There you go. No photocopies of your junk for your coworkers? No.
I used all my drink tickets and left.
No making out with the weird chick in the closet?
No, none of that.
Like you see in old 60s TV shows?
Yeah, it seems like some work holiday parties aren't as cool as they were like in the 70s and 80s. So much PC nowadays, it just doesn't happen.
Yep.
So this is episode 55?
This is episode 55. It should be episode 58.
58.
But we took a little hiatus.
A little holiday break.
We just
to come back right before Christmas.
It was in no way due to poor planning on our part.
Right.
It was fully scripted. We were going to tell you about it.
Forgot.
Absolutely had nothing to do with people dropping out at the last minute.
Yeah.
And not showing up.
That was me.
So, yeah, episode 55. Deal with it.
I don't even remember what's happened in the last 4 weeks.
I don't either. Luckily, Ish wrote an outline for us. So.
Well, don't say that on the podcast.
It's got to sound fluid and natural.
I'll cut that out.
Okay. Five. Four, three, go.
Yeah, make the clap noise. You play anything new and fun?
I haven't played a whole lot. I've actually the one thing I have been playing a lot is during the Halloween sales. I picked up like a couple of Humble Bundles and have been slowly going through all the games through them. And there's this one called Our Darker Purpose. I'm sure no one's heard of it, but it's, do you know Binding of Isaac?
Yeah.
It is that sort of like top-down roguelike dungeon crawler shooter sort of thing, you know, and it has a lot of the same elements, kind of like you level up and you find items that give you abilities, and it's like very dark and stuff like that. So it's in a lot of ways it's like Binding of Isaac. I did not like Binding of Isaac, though.
Yeah, it was like slippery, the controls.
Yeah, I also didn't like the art style too much, and the art style on this is much better, I think. It's more like very like gothic, sort of like, you know, well-drawn characters instead of I'm a fucking naked baby that's just like a circle with like stick arms, it's like, and stuff.
Johnny the Homicidal Maniac drawn by a four-year-old.
But the other thing I really like is that... kind of like Rogue Legacy, another like rogue dungeon, there is an outside progression. Whereas Binding of Isaac, you always start fresh. You never get any better off as you go, as far as I can remember. I don't know. Right. They released like a new version, like Binding of Isaac Rebirth or something. I haven't played that. Maybe they fixed, they've done something. But it's not quick progression, though, so it doesn't feel less roguelike. But like you, every time you beat levels, you get tokens, and then you can use tokens to unlock little perks. You can start the game off. They're nothing like game breaking, like you do 20 more damage or something like that. It's just sort of stuff like you roll a little faster, or you have a slightly higher crit rate when a monster is standing right next to you. So there are things that help, definitely, but they don't. They just give you a teeny push you need to make it a little bit further next time. And it's a lot of tokens. Like you get like 5 tokens for beating a level, and it takes at least 50 to unlock one of these perks. And then there's also this like token dumping mechanic where you can pay a guidance counselor like 100, 200, 300 credits, and she slowly unlocks like extra this stuff for you. Like you start the game with one more health potion, or you can equip one more perk, stuff like that. So I thought it was really cool. I've been playing it a whole lot. It's also fun since it's when like I can just sit down, play for 20 minutes, do a quick playthrough.
What's it called again?
Our Darker Purpose.
Our Darker Purpose. That sounds cool, actually. It sounds like... Everything they fixed everything I hated about Binding of Isaac.
But like the scene is like You're in a little orphanage for abandoned children, functions as like a school and stuff. And there's like a story going on at the same time, but it's not read to you. It's all like lore you'd have to read if you really were interested, you know, but it's not very important. But basically, like, you're like this little shy kid, and all the grown-ups disappear, and so the kids start to run amok, and there's two like other kids that everyone kind of falls behind. And so throughout the game, you kill those two kids, and then you go to the top of the orphanage and kill the administrators. I've never made it that far, though.
That's awesome. So you're basically fighting against other kids.
Yeah, they're all just kind of like, but
like roguelike Hunger Games kind of.
Yeah, but it's like very supernatural. They all use magic and stuff, or they're like beasts and stuff.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Anything else?
I've actually been really busy. I can talk about this since James isn't here. I know he doesn't listen to the podcasts. He would like rip the hell out of me if he'd know. But I do. I like. There's this game I play, and it's like an RPG. And every couple of years, what they do is the company hosts an event online where they do a play-by-post RPG where it's like really popular. You have to apply to get into it. And I think only like 100 to 150 people make it. And there's usually like at least 400 applications every year or every 2 years, and they do it. But I applied. I got in last time and I had a lot of fun, so I wanted to do it again this time. And it's like really time consuming because you want to like keep up with what's going on with everybody, because there's like 150 people to keep up with.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm going to be doing most of like December and January.
How long does it go on for?
Just the 2 months, okay. December and January. But that's why I've been playing a lot of Our Darker Purpose, is because it's something I can pick up for like 20 minutes while I'm like in between writing posts or something like that.
Yeah.
That was like a forum board interface?
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool. I used to be quite the forum scavenger when I was younger, so I know that well.
Yeah.
But that's, I also got an Xbox One. I haven't bought any games for it yet. I mostly just use it for like Netflix and stuff. But I have, it's just kind of nice to have something to talk to around the house.
That might not be the saddest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. But I like it a lot. I like having how I can just talk to it and do Netflix. It's not like I can't just say the name of the title. Obviously, I have to do like select title one or select title two. The only thing I'm disappointed with is that when you like, you know how if you like binge watch a show for like 3 hours, if you haven't touched a controller at all, would you like to keep watching?
Yeah.
I was like Xbox select, and it doesn't do anything. I'm like, oh, fuck. So you actually have to go find the controller.
What?
And turn it on and press A to continue watching.
Never mind. That's like the only thing I would want it for. I'm just laying there. Yeah.
They'll patch it.
Yeah, we're getting the PS4 camera for Christmas. And hopefully that has some sort of Netflix interface. I don't know if it does or not.
Yeah, I've never used one of those. I'm not sure what it's got.
I just saw today PS4 for like $330 at walmart.com.
Yeah, I noticed that like after you bought the Xbox One, like all these like deals finally came out.
I know,
post Black Friday.
I mean, it doesn't have any games included with it. You'd have to buy any other game. So I mean, it's about the same as buying the $400 Destiny pack, assuming you want Destiny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think I do. Everything I hear about the game sounds tedious.
Ish, it's such a nice game, though. You still
like the
daily quests and stuff?
I do a couple daily, so whenever I get around to it. There was some drama with the DLC that came out recently.
I know, I heard about that.
So I had to deal with a little bit of that, because the daily and weekly strikes that come out, well, the weekly strike, you get a strike and then a nightfall. And I didn't buy the season pass like my little brother did, and I'm used to doing the weekly nightfall strikes just fine until the DLC came out. Then the weekly nightfall strike fell behind that DLC border.
Yeah.
Even though
it
had never been that way before. And so I missed out on some strange coins and shit. And it was kind of irritating. So I haven't picked it up in a couple days.
Rookie mistake, man. You always get the season pass.
I usually do. Like Borderlands, I got the season pass.
You never get the season pass. At least I never do.
Now, I've done it for Borderlands 2 and, I'll probably do it for the pre-sequel, because all the Borderlands DLC is pretty legit.
I bought the season pass for BioShock Infinity.
Oh.
And then
sorry.
I played the game. I waited a week, and nothing else had come out, so I returned the game. And then I never picked it up again. So there's DLC waiting for me, but
I think two of the five are supposed to be really good.
Yeah, but not that good, from what I heard. So that's it? Just that game? I can't remember the name of.
Since, like, the beginning of December, I've spent... I mean, between, like, this forum thing and Marvel Puzzle Quest.
Yeah. Marvel Puzzle Quest, my God.
Oh, my God. It's been demanding more and more time. Like, and I'm not keeping up with it.
It gets those teeth into you, and it just, like, squeezes a little harder every day.
I'm slowly getting to the point where I don't need to do the PvEs so much.
Yeah.
Just when they have like freaking 4-star characters.
Yeah.
God damn, man. But this one coming up, I don't even know if I really want to do it because the
patch.
I'm not going to be top 20, and I have 5 red covers for patch. So yeah. I do not need.
Are you getting an Electra from the Prodigal Son?
Perhaps.
I was telling Matt before you got here.
It's not happening for me. I'm at 253, and I've been trying.
I was telling Matt when before you got here that the first day of Prodigal Son, first 2 days, I really put some time into it, and then something happened. I got distracted. So for the next 2 or 3 nodes of Prodigal Son that popped up, I didn't do anything besides one battle just so I got on the boards to get a reward, no matter what it was. And then this most recent node started yesterday, and I looked down, and I was still like 80th overall after putting some work into this final node. So I'm pretty sure I could have finished top 10 if I actually would have tried. Because this is by far the easiest PvE group I've ever been in. And I'm sitting like 70th right now.
Nice.
And I think before it's over, I might be able to get an electric cover.
I keep looking over at this chair, wishing like James was here so I could just see him like, why?
Yeah, we could talk about the whole podcast on Marvel Puzzle Quest if we wanted.
I admit, in the beginning, I used to be in James's boat when I didn't play it as much. And you guys, Matt just wouldn't shut the hell up about it. And I felt like I needed to be a part of the group and build some bonds, but then it was just peer pressure. And now I'm addicted.
Hey, so we moved on with our alliance. We shut down science team and started up Team Science.
Yep. Science team is dead. Long live science.
We are 4 players short of the full grout right now, but we are already 100 spots ahead of where we usually would finish.
Is it Anthony?
Anthony Bond. Twan Bond helped a lot, yeah.
He jumped in. He's got 2,000 season points already, or a little less.
He's
got like a really good roster, but he's been playing since the beginning. You can tell just by looking at his characters because he has Ragnarok maxed out. You're like, man, you've been playing this game a long time.
I was looking at his roster after you said something, and I was just like, damn.
I was like, I mean, he actually. I actually like offered to let him join our alliance at one point, but he has like a good roster, but he doesn't have he doesn't like shielding and stuff like that. He's like not terribly committed to it. He just plays like kind of casually.
Yeah,
that sounds great for our alliance.
Yeah,
right now
anyway. I will use a 3-hour shield, pretty much no problem.
I won't shield up.
I really have to want to win something if I do an 8-hour shield.
Yeah. Well. I mean, I get supplemented with, like, my alliance HP and stuff.
Yeah.
But I usually hit, like, time slice 1, which is because it's, like, so easy.
Exactly. I've noticed it would be so much easier using that first
window. I get, like, 700 points and come in, like, 11th place or something like that.
The very first window?
Yeah.
Yeah. The first one that pops up, I always take the first group.
The problem is it ends at,
4 a.m. Or
is that that's the Wednesday one?
Yeah, it always ends at a weird hour.
It's like 7 o'clock in the morning. If on the Friday and Saturday and Sunday ones. So, but what I would do is I just stay up, or maybe it's 10 o'clock. I just stay up until 2 o'clock in the morning, and then just do an 8-hour shield.
Yep. Yeah.
And the only problem with that is I have fallen asleep a couple times and missed out on a couple hundred points. But other than that, it's worked out really well.
I'm gonna start doing that now. I always do the last one, and I wait till the last minute to do it.
4 and 5. Are just death brackets now.
Yeah. That explains why I haven't been getting shit. Yeah, and why, I don't know. Yeah, because I've been trying in this PvE, and I don't even have, 80,000 points yet.
I'm only sitting at 67.
I don't know if the same rules apply to PvE as the PvP. Yeah. It might be
Think it would. Why would they put a different algorithm on the PvE?
No, I just mean because It's a death bracket because the people that join them, like that's like yeah. X-Men, are like, well, let's just put our whole alliance in one time slice. Which one's best? Like, oh, like four or five, one of those two.
They probably do those ones because most of the players are going to be awake and available to play during the end times and shit. So, how's the cheesecake?
It's good.
That is Charlene's recipe. So,
Ish catered tonight's episode with wing ribs, and cheesecake, and crazy bread.
And I bought soda,
Coke Zeros,
and I brought sushi.
There you go.
In honor of tonight's movie.
So, should we talk about the movie first?
I didn't talk about what I was playing.
Yeah, neither
playing
of us. Go ahead.
But you go for it because I have a lot to talk about.
Okay, good, because I don't have a lot to talk about. Marvel Puzzle Quest, we've mentioned. I dabbled in a couple games at James's house that we'll talk about in a little bit.
Right.
And besides that, it's been...
See, how am I supposed to remember what happened 2 weeks ago?
It's been Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, doing some more of the campaign on that, and going back through Mass Effect 1. I'm trying to get my ally achievements for the... who's the gay biotic? Caden and the
gay biotic
and the Asari biotic chick.
Are you still achievement hunting?
Nah, yes. For Mass Effect 1, I am.
Let it go.
I've got 100.
Go.
I've got 100% Mass Effect 2. I've got like 98% Mass Effect 3. So I just want to have all the Mass Effect games finished up. So I haven't been playing much. I know once the new job gets started and calms down and everything, then there'll be a lot more.
I think the only Mass Effect achievement I don't have is Power Gamer, which is where you reach like level 60,
level 60
or whatever.
Yep.
And I was like, I'm at like level 54. This should be easy. And then I like looked it up online. It's like, it might take me like a playthrough and a half to get six fucking levels.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous. Like, I'm not doing this. God damn it.
Yeah.
Did you say that you're going to have more time to play video games after you start your job?
Well, I will because, I don't know.
As
nowadays,
opposed to like not working at all? Is that?
Well, I haven't been playing anyone. I've not been working because it's been hanging out with people, helping out my parents' stuff, just everything. And I don't know. It's just pretty been hectic. It's been pretty hectic with everything going on. And but no, I think I'll be able to buy more games and stuff then now because I'm super budget conscious right now. So I haven't made the plunge of bought anything in a while. I even held up on Dragon Age, even though I still want to get it so bad.
It's so good.
Yeah. That's why I figured you and James would just be like doting on it like crazy.
I have not gone to bed before 3 a.m. more than like one or two nights since I got it, like almost directly after my birthday on December 5th. So,
and you're up at like 8:15 every morning, aren't you? Like
yeah,
9
yeah.
o'clock to go to...
What are you talking about?
Dragon Age.
You can go. I want to play that. I need to get into that too, but I don't know. I don't want to spend $60 on it.
That's worth it, man.
Maybe after I'm done with this forum thing. Really.
It's been a long time since there's been such a strong consensus among everyone that it's such a good game.
I see the commercials for it, and I'm like, stop showing me commercials for it. Oh, do you open up portals and suck dragons into them? What is going on?
I haven't seen that commercial, but seems like that might happen at some point. I don't know. So, yeah, what's Advanced Warfare like now that you're into it?
It's Call of Duty. It's kind of neat. Like I said, it's a little bit toned-down version of...
Call of Duty meets House of Cards.
What the hell is it? The jetpack one with the mechs. Titanfall. There you go. It's like toned-down version of that. You got the little boost packs. You got a little bit of wall running and stuff. And it's mainly... The best thing about Call of Duty is pretty much the weapons. At least to me, anyway. And... a lot of things I like about games is progression. So each weapon has its own progression levels. I like doing a lot of the completion stuff. I like seeing little bars move up and go ka-ching, and I get something unlocked, and then it keeps moving up a little more. Yeah. That's a very strong driving. That's a driving force in my gaming habits.
Do they still have like the weird names for guns? Didn't they used to call them like the AK-74 and stuff like that?
They have weirder names now because they're futuristic-y.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah. I thought I remembered like. Call of Duty having real life guns.
TKE 9000.
Yeah, they have like real life guns and just call them by something different. Right? I don't know if there's a trademark in there. I wouldn't think AK-47 is trademarked. I thought that's
like
just
GTA does with their cars.
No, I think it's trademarked.
But I mean, it's not this, like, am I not allowed to say Ferrari in a video game?
Right. You're not allowed to use a Ferrari and have like the Ferrari logo on it.
I see.
You can probably use the likeness and give it a new name, but you can't, like...
And you'd probably have to change the body a little bit.
So what all have you been playing, Matt?
Oh, God. Well, we went to James's house that night.
Yeah,
we all played Super Smash Brothers,
which is good, but I'm still horrible at it.
I won like 95% of the time.
You certainly did, yes. Yeah. And we played a bit of Hyrule Warriors.
Yeah, we didn't play for very long, so I can't really form an actual opinion. Like, you can't judge a game by the intro mission.
Yeah.
But the problem we had was we wanted to just go full party game mode on this game. And we open it up, get to the menu. The only option is adventure mode.
Right.
You have to beat the story mission before you can play it in free mode. So we'd...
Which might be forgivable in a PS4 or Xbox game, but like when people play a Nintendo game, they're usually sitting down with a bunch of people.
Yeah. I mean, it's only two players, so maybe they figure you would be party gaming it. But I just picked it up at a GameStop, knowing I had until January 15th to return it. So... We actually went back to Smash after we figured out that you had to play the adventure mode before you can do the free missions, because it would basically just be everyone watching me speedrun this game, basically. But Smash was fun. It's exactly the game I thought it would be. When you have like 150% on you and someone hits you and you don't instantly die, that's a sign that it's not the best Smash Brothers ever. I liked Smash Brothers Melee, where you actually had to get kills at like 60 or 70% if you just use a little bit of skill, but it's just too easy to get back on the stage, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I thought of it. It was my first real Smash experience. Yeah. And I don't know. It was just me basically button mashing.
Yep.
That's one of the things I do like about Brawl is there's no, or like Smash in general, is that there's no real need to button mash. It's not like a Tekken game where you have combos and stuff like that. And generally, you just have your forward A, your forward A, down A, up A, and then forward B, down B, up B. And then once you know what those moves are, it's just about like, when do I use them?
Right. I had no idea when to use them.
Me either.
So, yeah, we did that. That was fun. We should do that again sometime.
Yeah.
I like the new place.
Yeah. It was nice.
Nice dog room. Room for the kids to run around in.
That black dog is built like a truck, man. Crazy.
And then PlayStation had their big event, and they gave away Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare. So,
you like it?
Yeah. Cordelia and I spent a couple of weeks playing that.
I really like it.
Like, just killing zombies.
Murder.
You buy any zombie coins to unlock packs, or are you doing it all natural?
Doing it naturally.
Nice.
I'm not going to spend any money on it. It's a free game.
Can of dough.
Yeah. And then we got...
I watched an episode the other day.
What was that?
South Park.
South Park has an episode where they make fun of freemium gaming.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a Terrence and Philip game you can play on your phone. And you can buy Canado, which is like their in-game currency.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. And then I went and got PS Plus. So we got a bunch of free games from that. I messed around with Injustice. Nice.
So
Injustice is free?
When I got PS Plus, there was like a library of like at least 20 or 30 games that were all free. Because I got it like, I don't know, maybe a year after they initially started the gold things. And they were just cumulative. Like every game, they just added another game every month.
I don't think it's cumulative anymore.
It's only like four or five. It's like basically... Xbox Gold now. So yeah. PlayStation's like, wait a minute. If Xbox can get away with just offering one game a month, I'm sure we can do something very similar.
Right, they're gonna do two games a month.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that sucks. I didn't know it was cumulative.
Oh yeah. When I first got a PS3, I got like 10 free games, and it wasn't like I downloaded it because it was free. They were seriously games I wanted to play.
Like
Uncharted 3 was on there. Damn it. What else was there? Dragon Crown was at one point free. I can't really remember what else. But there was like a lot of like pixel junky game, like, you know, the pixel junk games that were free. I can't remember.
Like this month it's Injustice and this online shooter called Secret Ponchos, which I haven't played yet. It looks kind of cool. It's top down kind of multiplayer shooter.
Yeah.
where you play like these old West guys. The art style is really cool and the music seems cool. I don't know. I've got so much to play. I haven't gotten into it yet.
Yep.
And we also bought Costume Quest 2 for Cordelia. Mm-hmm.
I haven't played it yet. Don't spoil it.
Oh, it's so good. It's really good. Yeah.
How have you not played it yet, Ish?
I don't know.
Is it because you're not with your wife anymore?
Probably.
Okay.
Probably.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't play it if like Cordelia wasn't around. But it's really fun to play with her.
Little Big Planet 3, Minecraft?
Yep, Little Big Planet 3.
Did Cordelia run around in long noses, garden or whatever?
Oh, yeah, I saw your post about something you guys liked.
Well, oh, Minecraft, I think that was.
Yeah, that Minecraft.
Minecraft had Title Update 19 came out, and like it added a shit ton of stuff that was in the PC, that's in the PC version, like just like new like redstone, so you can make like even crazier, more complicated machines. Mm-hmm. It added horses and mules. And one of the cool things they added is in the tutorial, they added Stampy Longnose's house. And like the ship that he built. And Stampy Longnose, if you don't know, he's like this world famous Minecraft YouTuber. So, well, we always watch all his videos. So it was cool to like be able to wander around the house. That
is that the guy that tries to walk across all the Minecraft?
No. That's I don't know who
I've
that
seen
is.
Those videos a couple times.
No, this is like more for kids. It's more like it's like this old house for kids, kind of
this old house.
Because he just builds like these fun games to play and like can learn how to do stupid stuff.
Yeah, I've seen my nephews do some stuff on there that have like little games and stuff, and they use like explosives and mine carts and everything to make stuff move. And
yeah, that's the kind of stuff he builds.
It's kind of neat.
So I don't know. He's just like this wonderfully like cheerful like English kid.
I'm Stampy Long.
That's yeah. The name.
Hello.
For
it. So that was fun. And I've been playing Dragon Age. I've been playing a shit ton of that.
How many hours are you in?
I think I have about 40 hours in. And, like, I'm just starting. I've just been doing everything. Like, I cleared out. Yeah. I pretty much cleared out the first area and some of the
just
other
killing
areas.
Everything or just doing stuff?
There's, like, you know, there's tons of side quests and quests in the area. There's some landmarks you can find and, like, just motivation to like explore the whole area.
Yeah, I just remember like Dragon Age 1 and 2 just being, well, not so much 2, but Dragon Age 1 was like exhausting how much stuff there was.
Yeah.
I can only imagine Dragon Age Inquisition is like 10 times worse.
Yeah, it is. Like, I mean, most of it's not necessary, but I mean, it's, I don't know.
It is if you're a true gamer. Better do that necessary stuff.
Yeah. So
yeah,
I've just been up like to like 3 a.m. every night playing that.
Yep.
You need your beauty sleep, man. Trust us.
And I think that's it.
Nice.
Let's see. Do you want to just talk about the movie? Or?
Yep. Yeah, that's fine.
We watched Mr. Vampire.
It's actually Mr. Vampire 5. I looked it up.
I watched Mr. Vampire.
Did you watch the 1992 one?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I watched both of them. But you guys threw the 92 version on me really late. I had to like drive home, watch it real quick, and then go to my parents' house and watch football.
Sorry about that. I couldn't find it anywhere.
Like, you couldn't find the 92 version?
No,
the 85 version.
The 92 one was everywhere.
By the way, the 92 version, at least the one on YouTube, is like terrible quality. Awful subbing. Yeah. I was laughing my ass off when they were rolling the credits, and the translation was starring by, and then like the name of the.
I ended up watching it on Daily Motion. I found a better version on there.
They would get the gender wrong, like sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, I had no idea who the fuck they were talking
all
about.
All the pronouns are just like.
Because he was rolling around with that girl in the bed, and they like.
So, and like, yeah, it would be like the worst translation ever. Like, I am quite a gentleman, and like she's like a woman.
Yeah.
It's just terrible. And the 1985 version, the one I found, had a pretty good sub, but they did what everyone did to foreign films in like the 80s and 90s is they renamed the characters in the sub. You know what I'm talking about? Like, so I think the two assistants' names are like Mon. Like Mon Choi.
Mon and Choi, yeah.
No, one of his names is Mon Choi, I thought, and the other was Song.
That's right, yeah, it's Song and Mon Choi, yeah.
So it was like Mong and Song. And in the translated version I had, they called them Dan and Sean. I mean, it wasn't translated though; it was just subtitled. So this is one's in the original 1985 version. One of the things after watching the two movies that I figured out that I liked is that they have a vampire, and they always have. They seem to always have a vampire and some other supernatural thing they're fighting.
Yep.
Like in the 1985 version, they're fighting a vampire, but at the same time, there's like this ghost, the
succubus
sort of ghost that possesses Song and entices him to come to this house and have sex with her so she can suck the life out of him and stuff. So they have to fight both of these things simultaneously. And but there's just this one scene where she's like calling out to him. So like I'm just watching and she's like, Song, Song, Song. And then it's at the bottom, it's just like Sean, Sean, Sean. And I'm like, it's not what she's saying.
Yeah, I mistakenly initially watched the 1992 version because it's like what I found. It's what came up as Mr. Vampire. And I didn't really remember a year that James had specified. And I actually stopped at about 5 minutes in because of the stuff it had shown with like
the babies,
the baby dicks and them squeezing the other, like the little cherubs coming to life and squeezing the other dude's dicks.
Yeah, that was a little weird.
I stopped right there and I was like, James, is this the right movie? I don't want to watch something I can't come back from. That's all I was thinking.
But, and then there's that scene where they shoot the water at her where she's wearing the white dress.
What was
it, like censored it all out or something?
It blurred it
but then she put the goggles on him to like remove the blurring.
I don't know what they all and like, then but part then of the prison the part of the thing is like they throw all this like mystical stuff at you. Like in the 1985 version, what they do is there's this like asshole that's hitting on the girl they both fall in love with. Another thing that happens in all the movies, I'm assuming, that they both try and go after the same fucking woman at the same fucking time. So they both like this girl, and there's this other guy going after him. So what they do is they pluck his hair, and they put it in a charm, and Mon, the idiot, eats it. And after he eats this charm with the hair in it, he can control the guy by just, like, with his own body. So they're, like, they're, like, making him slap himself and, like, take off all his clothes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So there's all these, like, weird mystical things that they don't really explain.
I don't think
it's a spell.
Mystical though, I think she had like hair on her boobs and or something. Like there's something that really disgusted the guy. No, but after the censoring was removed, like you could see what was under there. It was weird.
And it wasn't like flesh toned. It was different.
Yeah, it was like dark.
I
and it made the guy vomit. I don't
know
why.
I couldn't tell. Like the quality of the video was just awful. I couldn't see anything.
Well, I was watching it on my phone at work. So
it was probably even worse.
Like when there was like. I hated it. Like when there was a guy with a white shirt on in the scene, I'm like, I can't read the fucking subtitle.
I don't know. I used to watch a lot of really shitty kung fu movies.
Yeah, like, the sushi scene where the table was such a light color.
Oh yeah.
That even though it was turned, you couldn't read half the subtitles because the table was so light.
Motherfuckers had to like keep scooting around in a little circle, had a meaning.
That's just how the kung fu movies usually are, though. At least in my experience, like it's always really shitty video quality. Yeah. The subs are really shittily done.
I found an amazing quality Mr. Vampire 1985. That was great.
Well, that one's probably been like restored and because that's a cult classic.
Yeah.
But I don't know. But yeah, the scene where the kids were peeing on him, that was pretty.
Yeah, it was so weird.
I was like, should I be watching this at work?
Pull the dick and snap it.
Yeah, it was like. So yeah, that was. It's not the worst movie we've had. Like I say that about most of them. Like,
I thought both of them were really enjoyable.
Yeah, I thought they were both entertaining. Well, I saw the original one like a long time ago, but I liked it a lot.
I haven't seen the original one. The 92 one was okay.
I really like Song. He's like not as stupid as Mon, but he's still like kind of stupid.
He's stupid enough to get in like frenetic situations. And, where he has to like kick
he's
ass
like
to
a
get
little,
out of them.
He's like a little clever and he knows kung fu.
Right.
So at least he's got something going for him. Mon, I don't know what his deal is. He's like the biggest retard in the world. Even in like the first movie, he's so stupid. But one of the things I hated about the one scene I did not like, and if they did it in this movie too, is in the first movie, Don gets stabbed by the vampire's fingernails. And so he starts turning into a vampire because he's poisoned by the vampire. And it's like the cures aren't working, but they say if he doesn't get better, they're going to kill him. So they like, he like starts filing off his teeth and stuff like that. And he's like, if I'm going to be a vampire, I'm going to be like a long living vampire. And then they're like, damn it. That's like the reason, it's stuff like that is the reason no one makes it out of a zombie apocalypse. There's just one guy that's like, I got bit, but I think I'm going to be okay. So I'll just not tell any.
Right. Yep. Then he murders everyone.
But even the general is like, he's like, if we can't heal you, no one can. He's like, well, then I'll just be a vampire and I'll bite my wife and we'll be a vampire couple and live happily for eternity. I'm like, wow, you're a jerk.
What country was that supposed to be?
China, I assume.
No, because he was a despot, and like Chinese movies would never admit that their leaders are despots. I think it was supposed to be
like a Vietnam.
I think it was supposed to be like North Korea. Vietnam, or something like that.
I got a Vietnam vibe from the outfit and the colors and stuff.
But I don't know.
Well, I mean, it was obviously like set in an older sort of time too, like early 1900s or something like that.
Right, it might have been China before. Yeah. I don't know China's history too well. There might have been time before, like, there was like different warring states or something.
Yeah, it was like late enough. It was like early enough that it's still really rural, it looks like, but late enough that there's definitely some Western influence with the uniform, like that guy was wearing, and they had guns and stuff.
Yeah, with the little Korea tie-in. I know the movie we can't watch next week, The Interview. Have you guys heard about all that shit going on?
Oh God, that's all so stupid.
Yeah.
Why did anyone care what fucking North Korea had to say?
Exactly.
That was some bullshit.
Well, I don't think Sony canceled the movie because they thought people would die. Well, probably not. I think they canceled it because they lost a ton of money from that hack. Did you know that they leaked like four of Sony's upcoming movies online?
Yeah.
Like Annie, it was online like 2 weeks ago and doesn't even come into theaters until like Christmas.
Christmas Day. And then like every budgetary report, any actor that's been paid by Sony within the last like 18 months, it all got released.
I think they got all that information. I don't know if they released it.
I know they said like Seth Rogen made like $8.5 million for The Interview, and they had some people's money cost.
I think they might have been afraid that if they went ahead and put the movie out, then everything else that got picked up would be released. Yeah. So it was just a money losing opportunity for them.
But the movie we are going to watch next week, I'm just going to give you the name and a slight premise, and we got to watch it. My dad was watching it legitimately. I know we watch most of our movies ironically, like I was telling Matt.
Okay.
It's called Solar Babies. Okay.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Have you seen that?
Yeah.
I'd never heard of it. Have you heard of it? It's it's Jason Patrick and Jamie Gertz, the two people from Lost Boys, the main Michael and the girl from Lost Boys. This is before Lost Boys, so it's their first team up.
I haven't seen it since the 80s, but yeah.
It's a post-apocalyptic future
where everybody rollerblades.
Jason Patrick runs a ragtag band of roller skaters, not rollerblades, it's the 4x4 wheels.
Okay.
And they are trying to escape a fascist police force being led by some magic orb of light. So we'll leave it at that. Solar Babies for next week.
All right. Okay? That sounds good. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I was walking in. My dad was actually watching it, and I caught a few minutes of it. I was like, what is this? And he kind of explained it. I was like, don't tell me anymore. I'm just going to record it. I'll come back and watch it on my own later.
After that, we should watch Gleaming the Cube.
That would be awesome. I love Gleaming the Cube. Christian Slater.
Christian Slater skateboarding movie from the 80s.
I loved all the dumb humor in Mr. Vampire, though. Something that is hilarious in the 1985 version, when he becomes a vampire, they have to get pure sticky rice for him to eat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it has to be pure sticky rice. And the rice merchant hears that everyone's coming to his town looking for sticky rice because there's vampires in the next town over. So he's like, I would make more money if I mix my sticky rice with regular rice and then not tell them. And so he's got this idiot son, and he's like, oh, yes, very much, sir. And he's like, give me 50 gram or 50 pounds.
Pure sticky rice.
Like 50. He's like, I need 50 something. I forget what cubums or something like that. Some unit of measurement I've never heard of before this movie. And he's like, give me 50 cubums of sticky rice. And the guy's like, oh, yes, very well, sir. And he's like, he gives a bag to his son. And he's like, here, son, put 50 cubics of sticky rice in here. And he's like, put 30 cubics of regular rice in there. And then he's like, okay, Dad. And then he like fills it up and gives it to him. And he's like, oh, that's really heavy. And he's like, yes, of course. We wouldn't rip you off here. And then he's like, walks away. And he's like, and his voice whispers to his son. And he's like, so how many cubics of regular rice did you give him? And he's like, 30. And he's like, and how many cubics of sticky rice? He's like, 50. And he's like, damn it.
That's not. That's, yeah.
So he still lost all 50 cubics of sticky rice.
Yeah.
Just gave 30 of regular rice for free. And then it had the adverse effect of not working on Dan, and he turns into a vampire momentarily. Mm-hmm.
Did anybody catch what was going on with the retarded guy popping the balloons? Like
he
wanted
to
squeeze the girl's breast.
Yeah,
I saw
but
that.
He just wanted to squeeze something, I guess. I don't know.
That was his substitute breast.
I just like some of the things in the movie just completely go over my head.
I don't know if it's cultural or yeah.
Or like when he like calls his wife back and she's like, do it to me again. She starts like smacking him on the bottom and she's like, this is how I died. I'm like, this scene is so weird.
he spanked his wife to death.
Yeah, he spanked his wife to death with a rod, apparently.
Oh, it was hilarious when, towards the beginning, when the couple go to the psychic lady and she's like,
oh, yeah, and he beats the shit out of
her. Yeah, starts smacking the shit out of her and stuff. He's like, oh, this is how the first wife died.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. But okay. I also like the scene where, like, he's like, the wife's like, my husband never came home last night. Didn't come home till like 6 a.m. I think he's been possessed by his spirit because he won't talk to me. He just stares vacantly. And then Birdie's like, what are you doing? And he's like, I went to a brothel. I had to make up something. And he's like, do you want me and my wife to fight? Just please help me. And she's like, okay. And he's like, I will exercise spirit in you. And then she just proceeds to kung fu beat the shit out of him. Yeah. And then he's like, oh, thank you very much. And then he's like, no, we're not done yet. You have to drink this blessed tea. And she takes a little cup of tea and pours like a whole bunch of candle wax in it. And then he's like, disgusting. Thank you very much.
That was awesome. Yeah. I mean, that was a funny movie. A lot of times shit like that annoys me, but they pulled it off, I kind of think.
Yeah. And the whole, like, the only thing I didn't understand in the entire movie was that whole scene where they're, like, driving. Well, this is not the only thing in the entire, I shouldn't say that. But when they, like, are riding their bicycles to, like, the woman's house.
Oh, yeah,
and
that
then,
weird
like,
funeral procession.
Two funeral processions just like crash into each other, like, but they're like phantom funeral sessions. And then one of them ends up in like a coffin, and everyone's in the little riding carriage. And she just jumps out of it and goes like, and shoots all the light everywhere, and all the spirits disappear, except one who's like, oh shit, and just like books it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. The nearest I can think is that, like, it's like, it'd be like if they tried to watch a movie with like lots of biblical imagery in it.
Maybe.
And like, just wouldn't get it.
Yeah.
If the movie didn't like try to explain what was going on at all.
Bengals just intercepted and ran it back for a touchdown.
Nice. Oh.
Don't mean to date
exciting.
The episode.
Exciting.
But.
Yeah. That's cool. I'm not a football guy, but whatever. So. But
so,
yeah, good movie.
Yep. 3 weeks of video game news.
Yeah, we got a
please
lot.
Please tell me nothing has happened.
Oh, boy.
Oh, god damn it.
And we got an email.
Did we really?
From Z-Milt.
No way.
Yeah.
He's still alive. Danny can breathe easily now.
Oh, shit.
You want to do the email first?
Yeah. Okay. There's a question for James in here. Which...
Oh, great. Fucking James.
Let Danny answer it in his best James voice.
And then there's a whole bunch of stuff he didn't. He said, I don't need to read, but he's just trying to clear something up.
Wait. He sent you a whole bunch of stuff and then told you not to read it?
He said, you don't need to read it on air or whatever, just trying to clear it up.
Oh, okay. Is there, like, private stuff?
No, it's just, like, kind of an explanation about backwards compatibility. And it's, like, three paragraphs.
Oh, so Z-Melt's calling me out, huh?
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't like backward compatibility. I don't understand it. Z-Melt feels like he's got to explain it to me.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. That was your whole episode. I don't get it. I don't like it.
Anyway, hey, guys, Z-Melt's here. Yeah, I still listen to the podcast regularly. Not every week, but most. That's good because we don't put them out every week anymore.
Yeah.
As long as we're here on the same weeks is all that matters.
I really like the way the segments evolved over time. Even though I haven't seen most of the 80s movies you guys watch, I still very much laugh along as you describe them. That might be my favorite segment. Oh, thank
you. I came
you.
Up with that.
Yeah, that was a
nice movie. Well, wasn't it your ignorance of 80 movies that came up with it?
I came up with a segment name for it, but it ended up being too long to repeat over and over again.
Yeah.
I think it was like movies before my time.
Yeah, and it kind of stemmed from James always talking about stupid movies.
Yeah, I mean, you guys would talk about movies all the time. I never understood. So after he made a reference to a movie, I'd go home and watch it, come back and say, I watch this movie. And then James would go like, okay, well, you should watch this movie now. And I'm like, how about we all watch that movie and then talk about it?
Yeah. I just wanted to chime in and say that, yes, I am still a listener. I like that you've recruited most of your number one fans into hosts, so yeah. I get to retain the role naturally. Quick question/discussion for James. You often talk about how much you love the Wii U 3DS because you play games in bed a lot, but you didn't opt for the admittedly expensive PS4/Vita with remote play option over the Xbox One. I get that $600 is a fucking fuck ton of money, but seriously, the remote play option is really sweet. Some games have pretty shitty controls, but for the most part, I can play any game I want remotely, even using my phone as an LTE hotspot. Over Thanksgiving, I was on vacation, literally 1,000 miles away from my PS4. And was able to play Destiny flawlessly basically every night I wanted to.
That's how it works? I thought it would be like how the Wii U works, where if you're like more than 20 feet away from your Wii U, it starts fucking
the
up.
Vita, as long as it has the hotspot connected and your PS4 is connected and they have that constant link, you can play pretty much anywhere remotely.
Awesome. But you need a Vita, though, right?
Yeah, you need a Vita.
Wow, what a sink of money that is.
Yeah, I've been thinking about getting a Vita, though. It'd be cool to play fucking Dragon Age in bed. Admittedly, also, the Vita has a fairly small collection of games that are actually good, but just having a portable PS4 is pretty sweet.
What really aggravates me about the Vita is that there are some games on it that are good. Because then I was like, I want to play those games. It was the same problem I had with the PSP. I was like, there's like 3 games on the PSP I want to play, but it's like $150 for one.
There's a lot of really good games on the PSP. There's a lot of like probably RPGs you probably haven't ever heard of that are really good.
Probably. I mean, I wanted to play like I forget what it's called now, but there was a Final Fantasy game where you played Final Fantasy VII game where you played Zack, like Steel Server. I don't remember. So I wanted to play that game. Final Fantasy Dissuadia or whatever.
Dissidia
was that PSP or was that Vita?
That was PSP.
I think they made like a Dissidia 2 on Vita too.
Okay.
And there's a couple of Japanese games I'd want to play. Like there's this really fucked up weird thing called like Dorangun. I can't really remember what it's called right now, but it's like a
the little monsters.
No, it's kind of a point and click mystery solving game, sort of. It's a lot like Phoenix Wright. I'll just put it that way. It's like Phoenix Wright, except what it is, it's a genre of anime that I really like called survival game, where basically you have a certain amount of people, and then over time challenges are issued, and people die, like actually die.
Oh.
So what it is the background of the story is that the 12 of you are locked in this really nice school, and only one of you is allowed to leave, and all you have to do is kill the other people to get out. If you're the last one alive, you get to leave. The catch is, if someone dies, they get to hold a trial, and whoever they convict of being guilty of the murder also gets killed.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So you have to, you don't have to be the last one alive. You have to murder someone and not be convicted for it. That's the twist. Mm-hmm. So you have to murder someone, but it has to be a good enough murder that you will not get convicted. And so in the game, you play as one of the 12 characters. You, of course, never murder anyone, but you are always the one that is desperately trying to figure out who the correct culprit is, because you don't want to have to kill an innocent person. You know, you're like that soft-hearted character. But they made one game, and it was a huge success, and they made a sequel to it, so they're both supposed to be really good. I'm almost considering just watching like a let's play of them on YouTube. It'd probably be like a 5-hour let's play or something, but at least I would.
Cartman, bruh.
It's another South Park reference. Yeah. They've been making a lot of video game related episodes recently.
Season 18 of South Park has been really good.
Cool.
Yeah, Hulu has it, so I watch it pretty regularly on there.
I need to get Hulu Plus.
And you can just watch it on southparkstudios.com. That's where Hulu streams it from.
I have 8 streaming devices on Hulu, so if you need the login, let me know. You can have it. Because I only know 4 or 5 people that use it.
That's right, Hulu.
Taking away your money.
I feel like James asked me for my password for HBO Go like 3 weeks ago.
Because I got rid of HBO Go.
But I haven't. He hasn't brought it up since. So I'm just hoping he went ahead after someone else. But anyway, is that all his email said?
There's the bit about the backwards compatibility, which
we don't have to read it.
We discussed a lot of it last time.
I don't care to hear what you have to say about backwards compatibility.
You should go back and read it, and then we'll talk about it later. But thanks for the emails, It's awesome. I'm glad you're still listening.
Whatever the facts of the matter is, it doesn't change the idea that it should work. It should work.
I think this is the first Z-Melts email in my tenure here at the podcast.
Yep, it is. Yeah. So
25 episodes. All took.
Wow.
Well, 30 now. I started at 25. Damn.
But yeah, thanks for writing in, Z-Melts.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Z-Melts.
You truly are our number one fan.
We love you.
All right, news. I guess the biggest news I saw was the Nintendo demoing the new Zelda.
Yeah.
Yep. Horses that won't run into trees.
Horses that won't run into trees. And, like, apparently the game is fucking huge as fuck. Yeah. Like,
compared to, they said it's like 6 times compared to the largest Zelda world to date and stuff. So.
Yeah. Zelda has been always been, like, a sort of, like, open world thing. Not really. It'd be interesting to see how far they've expanded it.
It's just a series of zones you can go into usually. But, like, this seems like they've gone full Skyrim with it.
I still haven't played all the way through Skyrim. I've been putting it off because I found out that I can't stand playing Skyrim with a mouse and keyboard. And I bought it in PC because I got it for, like, $9 during a sale.
Yeah.
And, but so I've been putting it off because I'm like, I'm going to buy an Xbox One or a PS4. It's going to come with a controller I can plug into my computer, and then I'll just use that instead.
Yeah. It's too long of a game to play at your computer, I think. You need to play it on a couch or...
Yeah. I mean, I have a pretty nice computer chair, but it's not that nice. Yeah.
I have a buddy that put like 155 hours into it on PC and then like another 100 and something hours onto it on Xbox 360.
Oh, my God.
After spending like 8 or 9 hours all day in front of a computer, the last thing I want to do is hunch over a computer again. Yeah. So.
Oh, God, that's true. I've never had like a desk job before. So yeah. I don't know how I'm really going to acclimate to the new.
Welcome to the real world, motherfucker.
Yeah. Just don't get caught using Facebook.
I'm pretty sure the IRS probably blocks that.
Maybe.
I'm guessing.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah. They might not, because generally it's whatever the tech guys don't want blocked doesn't get blocked.
Yeah. That was when I worked for Fifth Third, and there was like 2 computers that you knew didn't ever have any kind of proxy settings on or any kind of like firewall settings, because they were some of the main computers where the IT guys would do stuff. So if you got like moved around for the night and you got sat at one of those computers, it was like legit. It was a good night.
So that Nintendo, that Zelda demo looked amazing.
It does. It looks. I've never played a Zelda game before, but it looked pretty.
Yeah, I'm definitely picking up a Wii U when that comes out. Hopefully, there'll be other games besides Zelda.
Damn
that
it,
I want to
Nintendo!
Play at that point.
Why do you keep making me want to buy a Wii U?
I heard Captain Toad's Treasure, whatever it was a really good game too.
Treasure Tracker?
Yeah. No way! You can't be a good game with a name like Captain Toad's Treasure Tracker.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of the Mario franchise, except for the RPGs. Really? So, I mean, I like them. I'll play them, but I don't know.
Danny strikes me as one of the guys that got like 120 stars in all the Mario games.
Actually, no. Really? Part of the problem was I didn't have an N64 at the very beginning. I got it much later. But so by the time I got an N64, there was lots of other games to play besides Mario 64. I did play all the way through Mario Sunshine.
That's like the worst one of the bunch.
I know. But, I mean, it was something to do on GameCube. I played Luigi's Mansion. Is that a Mario game? I don't know.
Yeah.
But I haven't played, like, any of the either of the Galaxies.
I've played both of those.
Any of the 3D worlds, or, like...
I played the 3DS one, that's
3DS,
it.
The DS one. The DS... Any of the new worlds or lands or anything that's come out.
New lands.
I don't know. They just, like... They're so... It's such dry gameplay to me now. I've just gotten too used to having, like, you know, an actual storyline and stuff.
Yeah. We need to have a week dedicated to, like, what Mario means to us, and then invite Allie up here to talk about it. Cause,
oh, God.
We missed the Game of the Year awards.
On Spike?
On
Are they online? I don't,
it was,
I
it guys, was online. It was the Jeff Keighley awards, which
I think I caught more most meaningful than the. I think I caught most of that in a TV at GameStop because they were just playing.
Dragon Age Inquisition won Game of the Year.
Well, no fucking deal. One thing I always hate about the awards is it's always the games that have just recently come out.
Yeah, but I don't know. In this case, I don't know. I haven't played all these games on here, but I think Dragon Age deserves it.
I know. But I mean, like didn't like Advanced Warfare get Shooter of the Year or something? Like, I don't know. I feel like there's been a lot of shooters in this year.
Far Cry 4 got done.
Oh, Far Cry 4. Shooter. Okay, then it's better.
And that's actually supposed to be really good. I think I'm going to pick that up next.
See, I played Far Cry 3 and hated it.
Really?
Yeah, like you're like out in that African savanna or whatever.
You're in Africa somewhere.
It was just dumb. I don't know. I didn't like it very much.
Yeah, I got it just as an offshoot. I ended up picking it up because I found it on sale somewhere and went home and played it. And it was just like one of the games I just sunk into and played for hours.
You're like
and hours.
Driving that little fucking Jeep around everywhere.
You didn't have to drive a lot. Once you leveled up and you got faster, you didn't have to drive too often. You got enough tattoos. You were upgraded. So instead of tattoos, they kept calling them tattoos.
And Shovel Knight got the best indie game.
Yeah, you said you liked that a whole lot.
Yeah, Shovel Knight's an amazing game. If you get a chance to play that on 3DS or something, definitely do it.
I have all these games as wishlisted on my Steam because I want to know whether they're on sale. And Steam sends you an email if a game you have is on sale. But even with the sale prices, I always look at it. I'm like, nope, it's not $3 yet. Next time. Maybe next time.
Speaking of 3DS, I was at the mall the other day doing some final Christmas shopping. And there was a young kid, probably like 12 or 13, came out of GameStop. He was holding a 2DS and a 3DS, a couple of Amiibo figures, and some like little like trading card things. I think he got some free Pokemons or something. He was trading them because he'd play up one, sit it down, pick the other one up, go like
that.
Oh
my God.
No, like, he was
somebody's having a good Christmas.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do.
But yeah, you could just see his gears were turning pretty quick. It was pretty funny.
Did any of you guys ever play the King's Quest games?
Oh, yeah, they're remaking it, right? I remember reading that and being freaking amazed.
Yeah, yeah. And Roberta and Ken Williams are given the Industry Icon Awards. They're the original creators of King's Quest.
I remember you just sparked this whole conversation I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
Because I had it all in my head, and we didn't do a podcast this week, so I totally forgot it. But I really like how, for some reason, everyone's coming back to point-and-click games. Because those were like really fun when I was growing up, like Monkey Island, King's Quest. I never played
because of The Walking Dead was like so successful.
That's I don't know.
I don't know necessarily it was The Walking Dead itself, but Telltale in general has just pretty much hit a home run with point and click games over the last 5 years.
Point and click games. Most of the time, they're just decision making.
Because isn't it like Telltale? They did Sam and Max too, right?
No,
they didn't do it. What other game? Oh, they Telltale did the Back to the Future one,
which was
amazing. Pretty popular.
They just did all the Telltale games. Yeah. Back to the Future, Jurassic Park, Walking Dead after that. I don't know if they have any other projects before Walking Dead besides Jurassic Park and before the Back to the Future.
Who did Sam & Max?
They did the Sam & Max update. I'm not sure the new ones. I think they may have done
the ones that came out on like the 360.
I don't remember Telltale doing Sam & Max. I didn't play the Sam & Max games, though. So
Google.
But I guess they're point and click. They're not what I'm talking about when I think of point and click games, though, because they're really just like conversation decision making games for the most part. I liked point and click games, how you would like collect items like King's Quest. I would get an item. I'd have no idea what I'm supposed to do with this item.
Back to the Future is totally like that.
Is it?
Yeah. It's exactly like that.
Okay, you gotta go. Walking Dead is nothing like that at all.
Yeah, I only played a little bit of Walking Dead, and I wasn't into it. I hate the timed conversations.
Yeah, it's just like all like Walking Dead, Fable, or what is it called? A Wolf Among Us is what they call it. Those are both I have both of those games, and they're just conversation. Every once in a while, there'll be like an action scene where someone's shooting at you, and you have to like hide behind. You have to like slowly make your way across the yard, but it's never like, man, I wish I had picked that knife up back there This is when it would be really handy. Or like making like I just remember King's Quest being about like I'd click everywhere trying to figure out what I can pick up, and I'm like, okay, I have an iceberg lettuce cabbage head. What do I do with this?
Yeah It's like totally unintuitive.
Yeah,
like, that's also what's kind of annoying about them, but
they like, there's been a lot of point and click games come out recently, like they're revisiting King's Quest. Before that, what's it called? What's his the two-headed Double Fine made Broken Age was a point-and-click game.
Oh, is that? I haven't been following that at all.
And they're remaking Day of the Tentacle or whatever. Which
I remember that. That's an amazing game.
Never played that. I played Maniac Mansion though.
Maniac Mansion is so good.
It's supposed to be like the sequel to Day of the Tentacle or a prequel or something. Are they related in some way?
Maniac Mansion came first. Day of the Tentacle came after.
Oh, it did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's just it's a cool sort of genre that we've really grown past as a community because of all the technological advances. But I really like how the indie scene is like re-exploring it, because they're easy to make.
Yeah.
they don't cost $2 billion like all the games we play nowadays.
Right, and they're fun if you do them right. Monkey Island, the remake of Monkey Island, I think Telltale did that. That was the same.
Oh, did they really make the...
I'm pretty sure Telltale did the Monkey Island.
I played both of the remade Monkey Island games on Xbox 360.
Double Fine?
I played them on PS3.
I don't know. He's saying Telltale remade them. I didn't realize Telltale did anything besides Telltale games.
Yeah.
No, they did Tales of Monkey Island.
Tales of Monkey Island?
Yeah, which I'm not sure ever came out. Hold on,
There is insult dueling in that, I think I'd at least have to watch a YouTube video just of those scenes.
Yeah, no, that's the one I played. Tales of Monkey Island.
Tales of Monkey Island?
Yeah, it's got like 5 chapters. I played it on PS3. I played it all the way through.
They released it on the...
That's Telltale.
You fight like a cow. How appropriate. You fight like a dairy farmer.
Yeah.
Or no. Yeah, it's... Yeah,
yeah, it opens with an insult duel.
Yeah, you fight like a dairy farmer. How appropriate. You fight like a cow. That's what it was. I got it reversed.
But yeah, that was a really good one. Got a little tedious towards the end, but most point-and-click games do. You're like, all right, I just want this to be over. So, father of video games, Ralph Baer, passed away. Sad news, but he was like 92.
He didn't die of like surprise or anything. He's the one that did the Magnavox Odyssey. That was like the first in-home.
This is kind of funny. During the PlayStation Experience, Sony got up there and they're like, and now we're going to show you Final Fantasy VII.
Oh my God.
On the PS4.
Yep.
And they proceeded to roll a trailer that was
just... Let's not talk about it.
There's just the original video. Yeah. Clearly, they're just...
It's the PC port of the game.
Yeah.
Did you see the subtitle I put next to it? I forget what I put on there. On the outline, it was like Final Fantasy VII Port of Palooza or something like that. Because it's a port of a port, just like they did with Assassin's Creed Liberation on the Xbox 360 or one or whatever.
Yeah.
Let's remaster every Final Fantasy game up to 7.
So yeah,
make a sequel for it. Make a sequel for these newer Final Fantasy games that weren't really that good anyways.
It was funny because they were totally trolling the audience. Like, you could, if you watch the audience reaction when they announced Final Fantasy VII, everybody's like, yeah! And then they started rolling the video, and like, it cuts back to the crowd, and they're all just like looking at their phones. Like,
I think it's like, I've watched someone remastered the opening cutscene for Final Fantasy VII with like, Spirit or whatever. What was the Final Fantasy movie? Spirit Within?
Yeah.
Like, it had like, it, someone updated it to basically like Spirit Within graphics level, the whole cutscene, and it looked amazing. And it just ended up being a fan that just went that far with it just for a teaser. I was upset. I thought I was watching a trailer for a second.
somebody remade Final Fantasy VII in Little Big Planet. It's stupid.
Stupid.
There was a hack that someone made where they altered the storyline so that Aeris never died.
You can have her in your party.
Yeah, like, you can have her in your party. She just never joins conversations after she's killed.
She's conspicuously absent.
Yeah. But it's like...
That's funny.
It was so sad.
And speaking of ports, Suikoden 2 is coming to PSN.
Yeah, Suikoden. How do you say it, Danny?
Yeah, it's Suikoden.
Suikoden.
Suikoden. Okay.
And I know as soon as you posted that, Tom posted a different story about it, so I think he's excited about it, too.
Yeah. You guys just went out like and bought the original, though, didn't you, like not too long ago?
I didn't. James did.
James got the first three.
He got it in like a garage sale for like $5, though.
Right. I would have bought it, too, but I saw it for that cheap. And Persona 5 is coming to the PlayStation 4 as well as the PS3.
Yeah. I'll probably be playing. Well, I don't know. Maybe I'll save. I always make the mistake of playing Persona games as soon as they come out, and then a year later, they're like remastered with eight additional bosses and three additional levels, like freaking Golden. God damn it, man. I just finished Persona 4, and then Golden comes out on Vita. I'm like, oh, you got. I could have downloaded some sort of emulator and played that on Vita.
Yeah. They didn't really add too much to Golden, though. Like,
it's a whole new adventure. You get to go to the beach, and there's a whole other dungeon. There's a character that an extra Zodiac character you can like unlock missions for, and they added all kinds of monsters associated with that Zodiac sign.
There's somebody else you could link with, I think.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
and then there's like so there's a whole new.
But it ended up only being like 10 more hours of content, I think.
Oh yeah, just 10 more hours of content. Unlike other DLCs, where you buy it for $19.95 and get a whole hour and a half of extra playtime.
Well, if they're smart this time, they'll just release it as DLC and let you play it. You talked about the weekly strike being locked behind DLC.
Yeah, Dark Below DLC.
Woo, woo. Best decision ever.
Poor guys.
I know everybody's got a bad taste in their mouth because of the DLC now, but... Bungie kind of came out and said, oh, well, we know this was kind of rough. This is really just like a test DLC. The next stuff that comes out is going to be quite, like, I don't know, robust compared to what this was. So they said they're going to make it up to everybody, which I think they will, because Destiny, with it being as big as it is, it's a guess and test kind of learning process. It's like, they're taking a lot of feedback. They're changing a lot of stuff. And it's kind of like the first time that they've done it on this quick of a level. Because people complain about certain weapons, certain guns, certain loot drops, something like that, and they fix it almost instantaneously. They can alter all that pretty quickly. And cause I know there's a couple. My little brother just bitches about the most mundane shit because you have a hunter, a warlock, and a titan, and he plays a titan, and he's like level 31 out of 32. He's really into it with my nephews. And he uses this one like hand cannon gun that had like a 7-round chamber. They nerfed it to a 3-round chamber because it was so powerful. They didn't take any power away. And like apparently him and all kinds of other people got so up in arms and bitched so much about it that they like unnerfed it back to a 5-round chamber in a matter of 3 days. So it's kind of neat that they can react that quickly.
Well, that was less insane. I thought you were going to go like really freaking weird with the complaining. Like, I'm a warlock, and for some reason, I can't cast magic missile.
You know what? I know what magic missile is. It's the Dungeons and Dragons thing.
Yeah.
I'll tell that story in a little bit.
You cast it on the darkness.
Yeah, but other than that, I think all said and done, it'll end well when the DLC is finished for Destiny. And they've already said they're working on Destiny 2 and eventually Destiny 3. It's a 10-year plan.
What?
So apparently they're supposed to have 3 games.
Of course.
And everybody thinks that they're not even going to release a new game, that it'll just be like a substantial sort of
freaking
expansion
freaking
that'll
Bungie.
Morph it into Destiny 2.
Freaking Bungie.
So
have to put everything out in trilogies.
We'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah.
Yep. I'll eat it up. I played this one so much, I'll definitely play the next one. Same way with Titanfall. Okay, good. And don't forget Dungeons & Dragons story later after news.
Well, as long as we're on the subject of Bungie, wasn't like the Master Chief Collection like horribly glitched and faulty?
The anniversaries, number one and number two anniversary, seemed to work really well. It was the two older games that were packaged in with the redone games that left a lot of glitching to the multiplayer.
Great.
And a couple other aspects of the game. So there's supposed to be that's actually 343 has done that, not Bungie. So they're supposed to be fixing all that with a lot of patches too.
I imagine they inherited that project from Bungie, though.
Oh, yeah, the whole collection thing.
Probably been in the works for a while.
What's the company that alternates with Infinity Ward on Call of Duty?
There's three games? Now.
Is there three?
Yeah, you have Infinity Ward, you have Treyarch, and then you have Sledgehammer Games.
Oh, I was thinking of Treyarch, but I've never heard of Sledgehammer.
Modern Warfare and Advanced Warfare, that is Infinity Ward.
Of course.
Black Ops 1 and 2.
The good games.
And World at War were all Treyarch.
Yeah.
And then next year's, I think, is Sledgehammer's first solo title. They helped out with the multiplayer on the last two, but they're taking over their own. So now you got a 3-year development process rather than a 2 on the Call of Duty games.
So Treyarch did the Advanced Warfare?
No, Black Ops 1, Black Ops 2, and World at War.
Treyarch did the off games.
Okay.
Infinity Ward did 1, 2, 3, Advanced Warfare, and then Advanced Warfare 2, Advanced Warfare 3, and now this one.
Okay, I got an argument with some hippie about that at Walmart. It wasn't an argument. Yeah, I just said...
Of course it wasn't, man.
I said Treyarch did it, and he was like, no, Infinity Ward did it. And I was like, huh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't even really want to be in the conversation. I was just waiting to pay for my PS4.
You know, you just dream about those days and conversations.
I was just...
When can I down a hippie nerd with my nerd knowledge?
You look back on that day with shame, like, why did I say something? I knew I was right.
It pisses me off to know. Now, I'm not going to say it pisses me off because it makes me sound like a hoity-toity asshole. But if you're like in a GameStop and you hear a little kid say, oh, well, I'm waiting for that to come to the Xbox One, and it's like a first-party PlayStation title. He's like, yeah, it's supposed to be coming out next week. And so I just want to be there and say, dude, shut the hell up. Like, because, I don't know, I probably don't play nearly as many games as this kid, but how ignorant he is to, like, game news, especially with the internet. Don't get me wrong. Back when I was young, it was okay to be ignorant about video game stuff. Like, you didn't know what was going on. There was no internet.
Schoolyard gossip.
Exactly.
Basically.
It was all gossip. Now, that kid... probably surfs porn every day, has instant internet connection with everything he does, and he's going to be that unknowing about the thing he loves most. It just there's no excuse to be that dumb in that sense.
Show some fucking initiative.
Because
age of information.
Learn about your hobby a little bit.
It causes me personal turmoil trying to decide whether or not I want to tell him, like, set him right and sound like a big fucking nerd.
Little dick.
Know your shit, son of a bitch. Oh,
I know. You'll get what's coming to you when it doesn't come out next week.
Like 10 years ago, it was like 2005 or 6. Me and my buddy Brian were in a Lee's Chicken Famous Recipe restaurant.
You've held on to this for a long time.
Because it's like my go-to story of like nerdom. And my buddy Brian has played WoW since day one. He's got like 6 or 7 level 95s or whatever they are now. Still plays pretty regularly. And there's two young kids like a few tables away from us talking about WoW. And they mentioned some kind of skill in a certain class or race. And my buddy Brian, just most nonchalant thing ever, leans over. He's like, well, no, that's only for the paladin or something like that. All he does like that. And the little boy just got so defensive, so angry. It just turned into like a whole argument. Me sitting there like kind of shrouding my eyes. I don't know. It's funny. Yeah.
Arguing little kids.
Yeah.
It's never worth it.
It's not. It's not.
All right. The Witcher 3 got delayed to May 2015.
Yay! I think it's a good thing, especially if I do actually play Dragon Age anytime soon.
Until May.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. I'm not going to have time to play it till at least May.
Yeah. They're working around your schedule, Matt. See how nice they are, too.
Yeah. They didn't realize Dragon Age was going to be so big, so they have to move it out. So, what's this? James never, like... post a proper article, so like I have to actually click on the link to see what it's about.
Well, I'm sure what he does, what you have to do is you post the link and then give Facebook a minute to look it up and find the thumbtag and everything.
Then delete the link.
He's like, nope, post, paste, post,
paste, post,
post quicker. Yeah. That's a guide to the Witcher story. I don't want to read about that.
I'm like, one of these days, James's Facebook account is going to get hacked, and all it's going to be is a link on our group, and I'm not going to think anything of it. I'm going to be like, that's just what James does. He just posts tiny URL websites for some reason, and now I click on this link, and I have a million viruses.
Looks like Nintendo released video of some game or whatever, the new Mario Kart 8 commercial, and they have what appears to be a new Wii U gamepad in the commercial, but they kind of blur it out so you can't see it. But super nerds have gone back and looked at it and like measured the dimensions, and it's smaller the screen's bigger, but the actual thing is smaller. Hey, you fucking dick. Pulled off Elektra. Got his Elektra during the podcast.
I didn't have to play.
What pod were you in? Because mine's
not. Oh, is that your Alliance reward?
No. I mean, I was playing earlier today. I thought I would have to get on and grind for like the last half an hour. I'm like, nope. Still
38th. Oh, man.
I must pick pod two then, because mine's still going on for another 4 hours.
I actually didn't realize she was 4-star until you said she was 4-star earlier.
Really?
Yeah.
It's so dumb.
I would have tried harder.
Way too many 4-star.
That's good that they're having more 4-stars.
When are they
going
to drop a 5-star?
Yeah, you know that's coming next.
You know it's coming next. I'm guessing, if not this season, definitely season 10.
You got a gold. What is it? It's an Elektra. I'm going to be pissed.
Fucking Doc Ock.
Fucking Doc Ock.
Is it black Doc Ock the good one? Or green or blue?
Green. Green is okay.
Yeah. He's good against mom fucking the enemy. Goons. Yeah, you mix him up with a Black Widow. You got a good goon fighting team there.
My Doc Ock is 505 now.
That's weird. I'm about there with my fucking Devil Dino. I have like almost 5 on both of them, the purple and the red, but 0 on the green.
If somebody else sends me Tiny Arms with a fucking team up request, I'm gonna cut them.
Like, that is the worst ability,
especially because I've never actually needed team ups until now. And then when I actually need them to try and like get some like some ground, gain some ground, everybody sends me. I think out of the 5, I got 2 Tiny Arms. What else did I get? Bagman and I'm like, who the hell in our alliance has Bagman in their roster still?
Wow, you guys are assholes.
Some of them keep Bagman just to give out for a team up request.
Like, people give me a team up. I give them like original Black Widow, or I'll give them like a Weapon X, something good, and it's just like assholes.
I actually haven't seen a Bagman in a long, long time.
I've had the enemy drop a Bagman on me a couple
of
times.
You know how, like, after you win a PvP match, sometimes you'll get a cover? I've gotten 2 Bagman covers. Sold both of them, of course. I'm not going to keep that.
Because after we got that Alliance refund, that was, like, months ago. And I've been collecting every character I don't have already.
Might as well, right? You got, like, 68 slots now, right?
I could if I wanted to, yeah. So, I haven't seen a Bagman for some reason. Not that I really want him or I'm missing him. The new Xbox One update is going to add Windows functionality to it. So it's basically putting the core Windows into the
non-Windows the machine, whatever. But the reason I
Windows
put that
10.
On there is,
that'll go over real well, I'm sure.
It's supposed to make Windows 10 on the PC, Windows 10 on Xbox One, and even on the tablets and mobile devices more cohesive, to where games can be ported pretty much flawlessly between the 3 platforms. So it'll make... Like, say, an indie game comes out on the phone, it'll make it easier for it to be ported to, like, the Xbox Live Arcade, so...
I see.
They kind of... I guess it's good on their own part, because they can triple dip now, rather than putting a lot of extra work in something. All they have to do is change it slightly to port it to the other console, to the other platform.
Call of Duty and Advanced Warfare were the biggest selling games in November.
Yep, Destiny and Advanced Warfare were...
And Xbox
Did you say
One
Call
was...
Call of Duty and
Advanced
Warfare?
Warfare? Is what I said, yeah.
Oh, that's not what I said. Sorry. I meant Call of Duty, Advanced Warfare, and Destiny. It's getting late.
Then the Xbox One took first place for the first time maybe ever.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll probably hold that position in December.
And I think the more they sell the Xbox One, the more they're going to sell, because that means your friends are starting to have them, so people are more likely to get them. So I don't... Hopefully it helps it out. Yeah. It's mainly just because I was a super early adopter and I wanted to have as much longevity as possible so I don't look like a jackass.
Right. PlayStation 4 and Vita are launching in China next month. I guess the Xbox One has already been out there for a while.
A few, maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago, it finally launched there.
Is it selling better in China than it is in Japan?
I think so. I think it is, yeah. That's generally how it works.
Poor guy. Had to resign because he couldn't sell Xboxes.
This is kind of funny. Tekken 7 has this like super like sexist cat girl character in it.
I think I might have seen like gif art of her around.
Yeah. But she's not making it stateside, so don't get your hopes up.
Right, but she's not coming to the US version because the creator of Tekken 7 was reading NeoGAF, which is like this message board where all the gaming journalists post, and they're all like super liberal on that, so they're all like super pissed off about the sexist cat girl and the complaining about it. And he got on there and was like, let me see if I can find the quote. He's like, "Are you Western only one bulletin board? Hello, small world. I'll make muscular and skinhead character for you." And
nice.
And then he went on to say that he was gonna pull her from the U.S. release of it.
I don't know. I mean, I can understand the feminist attitude of like, we want to be better portrayed in video games. I can really do. They get like a really bad. Yeah. I mean, there's like they're rarely represented as like intelligent characters. They're usually like love interests. Right. I mean, I say that thinking in my head of all of the games where there are great female characters in them,
yeah.
And just going, well, I will just like ignore those for now and just focus on when they're bimbos.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of those games where they are bimbos are from Japan.
But I mean, yeah, like Japanese games, like, what are you expecting? Even like Mortal Kombat, like no woman in Mortal Kombat is sensibly dressed.
Yeah, it is.
I think Sonya Blade's kind of okay wearing the camo pants with the white tank top. That's sort of army.
That is
army-ish.
Like maybe new Sonya. Old Sonya was in like a white one-piece swimsuit, basically.
Oh, she was in that simple onesie. I remember that now.
Before that, it was just like the green tank top.
Yeah. Speaking of fighting games, Matt's the only one of us that'll be able to play Street Fighter V or whatever it is.
It's coming to the PS4.
I really do not like fighting games.
Me either. Can't
stand. Yeah. I mean, I like watching them now, but I don't like... I suck at them.
So, I like
it's a waste of my time to try.
I like Street Fighter. I do like Street Fighter though, because at least Street Fighter has condensed it to like 10 combos. I have to remember sort of. Tekken is an asshole. Virtua Fighter 2. Both of them are gigantic assholes that have fucking enormous combo lists.
Yeah.
It just disgusts me.
Yeah, if you haven't been playing Tekken for the past 10 years, you're not going to pick it up and win tournaments right away.
Yep.
And with exclusives, at least Xbox One gets the new Tomb Raider. So I'm excited about that. I really like the other one. I bought it on 360, the one, and I'll buy the next one. So
Xbox is getting the new Tomb Raider?
Yeah, it's exclusive to Xbox consoles.
Fuck! I like that Tomb Raider.
Yeah, the Rise of the Tomb Raider or whatever it is. Yeah, that's and then...
Wait, are you talking about one of those little, like... sub-party ones, or was it like the Nitty Gritty Tomb Raider?
The sequel to the Nitty Gritty Tomb Raider.
Thank God. I hate all those arcade game versions of Tomb Raider look just bad. I haven't played it.
Those are supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah, the top-down ones are pretty good. The Temple of Osiris and the...
I haven't played them, but I mean, they've gotten good reviews.
Down. I don't want a top-down.
You don't like the isometric...
I don't need top-down for puzzle, my Tomb Raider.
They're just puzzle games, basically.
Yeah, that's all they are, is puzzle. And then one of the people plays is like a little Indian named Omek that just throws a spear. That's super PC.
Yeah. Speaking of super PC, did you guys watch the trailer for Hatred?
Yeah. And
is it that game that got like canceled or banned?
Pulled
or whatever?
From Steam Greenlight.
it's back up there now because Gabe Newell cited like First Amendment shit. But they put it back up there. But it's probably going to get an AO rating if it does ever reach the ESRB.
I think from the trailer, it should get an AO rating.
Yes. Like, I didn't really watch it. What happens?
Basically, you're just like this psychopath that decides to go on a killing spree. But I mean, which in and of itself is kind of, you know, been done before. But
like you mean like in Skyrim?
Right, right, right. But you're like killing like innocent people, like
pedestrian bystander people.
So like, it is like more Modern Warfare 2 sort of.
Oh, No Russians.
Yeah, it's a bit like No Russian, but like instead of it being like a kind of, you know, instead of trying to make a point about how the violence is horrible, it's actually like, I don't know, I don't want to say
violence is glorious.
It's like reveling in it. Yeah. It's like if you watch the trailer, it's fucked up. Like, I don't know, there's people like screaming for their lives and you just like put a bullet in their head. And
I see.
Yeah,
as long as we're on the subject, is the Gabin thing a new meme or have I just not noticed it for like the longest time?
The what?
Gabin.
Oh, Gabin. I think he legally changed his name. Gabe Newell can't change his name to Gabin or something like that.
What the hell?
Well,
I didn't notice
it's
that.
Like a big thing
because his name, like Gabe Newell or whatever, the Valve, his Steam handle on
his
like,
well, his email is
Gabe N. Yeah.
At blahdyblah.com.
And I don't know if it's real, but somebody said he actually changed his legal name to Gabin and like
Yeah, people would call him Gaben because his name is, his email is Gaben.
Gaben.
So there's like all these like memes about it. Like there's like this one picture of Gabe Newell that everyone uses. And I just recently I've seen all kinds of people posting screenshots of like, I have his picture framed next to my computer now.
Yeah.
My mom is asking me, who's that fat guy?
Have you seen the one where it's he's the son of George R. R. Martin? Did you get the, like on Reddit, you have the one picture of George R. R. Martin. Everybody has. And you have the one picture of Gabe Newell, and it's like father son kind of thing. Pretty
funny. And then there was a recently a video that Newegg put out where a couple of their like sponsors were just like having fun, or like not sponsors, but some of their employees were having fun or something, doing a little like pot like video cast. I can't really remember. I just saw the one scene where they talk about something being released, and then one of them goes like, "Hail Gaben," and the other one goes like, "Gaben be hailed," and then they both with their fingers put their head down and draw a G on their chest.
That's hilarious.
So I've been completely unaware of this, whatever this meme is, until about 3 weeks ago. So if it goes back further than that,
yeah,
that's crazy. And the last thing we've been talking about, Telltale. They're working on a Minecraft Telltale game.
Finally,
I know we can finally figure out what Steve's up to.
You guys played the Borderlands or the Game of Thrones one?
Nope.
I heard they're both excellent. But I have two Telltale games that I've not played past like the second chapter so far. So got to get through those first, I think.
I might play the Game of Thrones one. I will not play the Borderlands one.
I also do not like Borderlands.
I don't either. I really tried to give Borderlands 2 a fair shake.
Yeah, you played it a bunch, so you gave it like it's...
I put a good 20 hours into it, and I did not enjoy myself the entire time I was doing it.
Yeah.
Played it a little bit with Cordelia, and that was kind of fun. So maybe it's just you have to play through
it
with multiplayer.
I've always played it with people, so I guess that means when I actually go to play pre-sequel solo, I'll probably just cry on my controller the whole time.
So that's all I got. You already told your Dungeons and Dragons thing?
No. I've been hanging out with a lot of like older friends that I haven't seen in a long time lately.
Creeps.
And it was like a friend of a friend. We ended up going to their house because somebody had to pick something up. And his roommate and five other guys were playing Dungeons and Dragons 5th edition.
Sure.
In their game room. And I like entertainingly sat there and watched them for about 2.5 hours. And this was like apparently their third sitting on this one quest that the DM had come up with. And just sitting there listening to them play, there was a newer guy that they had to explain some stuff to. But I think I got a pretty decent grasp of D&D now, because I didn't know that there were multiple die. I didn't know all the rules and stuff. But when you said magic missile, because there was a guy that had that and used it sometimes. And all the different, like, you have, like, you can have, like, two spell slots, and you get the long rest before you can use those again. And then you have a certain smaller spells that you can use pretty much at will. And I forget the name he gave those.
Cantrips or something.
Cantrips, there you go. That's what they were. And the DM was actually really good. He didn't really do voices all that much, like I would stereotypically think Dungeons and Dragons nerds would do. But, like, once the other guy got acclimated, because this was his first time, even though it was their third night, that the DM, I think the DM probably makes a Dungeons and Dragons game.
It does.
That's what I would guess. Because
it's totally.
Yeah, because the DM's like the storyteller. So the DM, a shitty storyteller, it's going to be a shitty story.
Because the DM even like would take some time and talk to me about it, and he said that all the players have free talk, and like he keeps track of players' locations in case a group splits. That way, he knows who can hear what information, who can't. And the DM actually had all his die on his phone. It was like a 20, a 6, a 4, and an 8, all on his phone. It was pretty good that he rolled. Everybody else had the physical dice. And
don't trust those apps.
It actually seemed really cool. And there was also, I think with this group, I don't know about all of them, but there was a big comedy aspect to it too, or like a fun aspect that they were all enjoying and stuff. It wasn't super like gung-ho and everything.
Where was this?
Just like a friend of a friend's house that lives up in off of 74 West 275. It is Cleves Warsaw Road up there. Just kind of rode up with a friend of a friend.
You know the McElroy brothers have a Dungeons and Dragons podcast that they're doing now.
They do not.
Yeah, it's called Adventure Zone, I think.
I'll I will listen to it all probably before next week.
Yeah, yeah. If you go back and listen to one of their old Mabim Bam,
I remember
episodes.
They did Mabim Bam one. So yeah. They just continued for that.
Right, yeah, yeah. And they're doing it with their dad.
It's, yeah, that's right. Their dad was on it playing. Their dad played somebody named like Merle or something like that.
He's the wizard named Merle.
Yeah. You had Merle, Magnus, and Taco on that one episode. Yeah, do they keep the same characters in
it? Yeah.
I'll have to listen to it. That sounds really
continues.
Cool.
It's really funny. Those guys are hilarious.
Yeah.
They're from around here.
Anything the McElroys do is funny.
Yeah.
So is his dad just like totally clueless about what's going on?
No, he knows.
Oh, okay.
He's just kind of aloof and doesn't really.
That's
like,
the kind of dynamic
much.
I would like to hear from a D&D podcast sometime, where there's just like a dad, just like no idea what's going on.
That'd be like sitting my dad down to play D&D, like giving him a character sheet and shit.
As like as embarrassed as I am to admit this, I used to really like. This show on MTV, I can't really remember what it's called. It was like Viva La Bam or something.
Oh yeah, Viva La Bam.
You remember like Bam? It's like a character from like your guy from Jackass.
Yep.
And it was just amazing. It was just hilarious because all he would do is just like put his parents in like fucking weird, terrible situations, especially his like Uncle Phil or whatever. And
there was something happened with that uncle. Like that's why they had to cancel.
Well,
the show.
Obviously, I mean, they harassed the guy 24/7. He looked like he weighed 500 pounds and was 60 years old. It was a ticking time bomb. I would not be surprised at all if he had like a heart attack.
He's in jail or something now.
That's less of what I thought would happen. But he was also psycho, so at least he would like. Fight anyone the slightest provocation, even though he had no martial skill whatsoever.
Do you think this is going to be our Christmas episode?
Oh yeah,
jingle
Christmas
bells,
is 2 days away.
Jingle bells, jingle
all. Oh yeah,
way.
You're right.
I don't think we're recording again. I'll come back. Let's do one Christmas Eve. Let's go. We're back on Wednesday.
So we should talk about our best video game gift ever and our worst video game gift ever that we received.
I put that on there because I've mentioned mine before on the show. It's both, but I wanted to hear your all's.
So my best video game, like, so gift I received, right?
Yeah.
Christmas, I was like 6 or 7 years old. My parents gave me a regular Nintendo for Christmas. I opened that. I was really excited. I was like, yay. And then I went to go check my stocking and I pulled out Legend of Zelda, the freaking like golden cartridge. I was like, bananas. I'd never heard of the game whatsoever.
You just knew.
They gave us a couple other cartridges all too, and they're all gray. And I'm like, this one's fucking golden. It's gotta be the best game on the system. And I really liked it.
All right, what about your worst?
What about your worst one?
Worst video game gift I've received. See, the problem is, since then, I have been actively involved in any video game gifts I have received.
That's like, where I messed up in life. Continue.
I got, the next real time I ever got, like, video games as, like, a system was a GameCube. And I went with my mom to buy it. I got Luigi's Mansion and Super Smash Bros. Melee to go with it. I picked out other games and stuff. Like, my aunts, uncles, cousins, blah, 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 clothing and gift cards my entire life.
Life.
Yeah, like, or at least since I've stopped playing with train sets. They usually, used to just throw toys at you, like Barbie, like, you buy the girls Barbie dolls, you buy the boys trucks. As soon as I get, like, 10 or 12 years old, they realize I don't play with trucks anymore. I've got these video games. They're like, whatever, we'll give you candy, clothing, and gift cards. Have fun. I mean, Christmas has never been a big deal at all with my family.
Amen to that. Like,
that's the exact opposite of my family. It's huge.
Yeah, nice. It is. No, it's a good time to see family is what it's for. As for actually the material side, I don't know. My family's always been quite conservative on that aspect. And I that's the way I see it. Like, Charlena, completely opposite. Like, quantity over quality. So, not a bad thing. People just have their different ways. But
yeah, me and my brother used to get each other gifts. But it got to the point where it'd be like, what video game do you want, Joe? And I don't know, buy me this. And I'm like, okay, you buy me this. And then we just pick games that are like equivalent. And we would have bought them for ourselves anyways. Yeah. So we like when we turned like 14, I think it was, we made an arrangement. Like every year, I would give him $500 and he would give me $500. And so we just didn't do it.
That, right,
like,
right.
When people ask us what we only set it up that way. So like when people say like, what'd you get your brother for Christmas? I go like $500. And then I go like, oh my God, yeah, that is so generous.
Danny's rolling deep.
Yeah. Like what did he get you? And I'd be like, $500. And I'm like, they're like, oh, so
you didn't get each other it. Anything.
Ha ha. Very funny, Danny.
What about you, Matt?
We'd have pissed on Jesus, Danny.
Yeah, exactly.
Mine's actually the theme. I got I really wanted the Atari Lynx. Do you know what that is?
The handheld one?
Yeah, it was the handheld one. It was supposed to be way better than the Game Boy.
Yeah.
It was like in color and like in stereo and back when the black and white Game Boy. God, am I ever
happy I missed that whole generation.
Yeah. So I was like, I begged for it all year long. My parents finally got it for me for Christmas. And like, I got a couple of games for it. And it was awesome. And then like 3 months later, like they started taking it off the shelves. And like, we went on this like huge, like long trip out west, like to Colorado. And we drove there. And like, the only thing I brought was my Lynx. And my mom said that we'll buy some games for it on the way because I'd already played the games I had for it. I think it came with like California games or some shit and like Slime World. And I played the shit out of those. And so we drove west and stopped at like every Walmart and Toys R Us that we came across. And we couldn't find a fucking game for the Lynx anywhere.
So it was just so terrible that it wasn't selling at all? Or?
Right. Like, yeah. I got this thing that I'd wanted all year long, and then when I finally got it, like, no one was fucking carrying the games for it anymore.
Yeah. By the time I got into video games, Nintendo and Sega had already finished crushing the rest of the competition. Yeah. And then, so those were the only two systems that were really any good at all, and then Sony came along, and then Microsoft after that.
Yeah. TurboGrafx 16 was really good. I missed that.
That blew my mind. I had a buddy that had one of those. It was literally a cardstock piece of paper with some cellophane in it. You put it in, and it was like the best games I'd ever seen today. Yeah. Because all I had, my dad had an Atari when we were kids. We didn't have it. My dad had it. And we had a TV that had the red, green, and blue buttons to change colors. And we had Super Mario Brothers, like, or just, it might have just been Mario Brothers. On the Atari, though.
Yeah, it's just Mario Brothers.
Yeah, and we had and Pitfall and stuff like that. But, like, yeah, just one of, like, a buddy had TurboGrafx 16 and we played it. And I was like, what the hell is this?
Is this from the future?
I was like, Atari games are this big. How is this doing this?
Yeah, so I guess that's it for the special Christmas episode. Which we didn't identify as a Christmas episode in the beginning. But
and a partridge in a pear tree.
Throw another log on the fire, Rish, please.
Yeah.
So, if you want to contact us, just like Z-Melts did, send us an email at NintendoDreamcastPodcast@gmail.com or tweet us the D at NintendoDcast on Twitter. And
Show us that D.
And come like our Facebook page at facebook.com/Nintendo Dreamcast.
Don't show us that D.
Yeah. How many dick pics are we going to get on our Twitter?
You can show us the D. We'll just delete it.
James would love to see the D.
Yeah, so he would.
We'll forward them all to him.
We'll rate and review your D if you put it on the Twitter.
James will rank it.
So, thanks, guys.
Yep, bye-bye. Good night. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.